Hey, everybody, this is Phil Town.
And this is Danielle Town.
And welcome to the Invested Podcast. I'm so glad to be here.
I'm so glad you're back. It was fun to interview other people, but I missed you terribly.
Dad's back, and I missed you too. Oh my gosh, man.
So the people what you've been doing, Dad. Have you been off having fun in the islands somewhere?
No, I have been in a rehabilitation. I hadn't even actually started rehabilitation. I've just had back surgery. They fused the L4, L5 vertebrae, and everything's gone lovely. But we thought it'd probably be better if I didn't do recordings on Dilaudid, say. Seemed like a good idea.
No heavy pain med recording. Although I have to say it did cross my mind when I talked to you a couple of times because you were so happy. And I was like, oh, maybe that actually would be really entertaining.
I've been contributing to the opioid epidemic in the country. Happy to do my part. And
so glad that it went so well and you're doing so well and it's all healing. It kind of came out of nowhere and I'm just glad that it all has come out okay.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere. Man alive, I ended up jarring something in these vertebrae injuries I got through polo. And
well, you broke your back like 3 times playing polo?
Right.
Oh.
I did.
I thought I was exaggerating, but apparently
no,
I wasn't.
Actually, that was about right. And then one of those breaks just dislodged something that went in or built a bone spur, I guess is what happened. And it just pushed the spinal column until I couldn't stand up. And it was very painful. And I sort of cried to the best surgeon in Atlanta. So a big shout out to Dr. Ray and his staff for just a remarkable, great work at Piedmont. And I discovered that Piedmont has what is known as the Waters Pavilion, which is a wing of the hospital available to people who have the money to pay for it outside of insurance. And they provide you with your own nurses and your own food service and a 2-room suite. And I was supposed to go in there overnight and then go home because, you know, hospitals are a place where there's infection, so you don't want to hang around too long.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Yeah, so the doctors really do like to get you out of there. And it was so nice and so comfortable. I mean, seriously, it was a Four Seasons level suite with constant attention. And I stayed 3 nights.
I just remember talking to you because I was in Zurich and you were in Atlanta. And so with the time change, you called me and it was morning my time. So I knew it was 2 a.m. or something your time. And I just thought, oh my God, something, it was really bad. Something's really wrong. It really freaked me out to get that call. And I answered and you just go, I'm having the best time. They're taking such good care of me. I'm eating cheese and fruit in my bed. Everything's fantastic. I never want to leave. I was like, oh, thank God.
I'm so glad you can replay that because I don't remember the phone call.
We had a very nice chat, Dad. Oh my.
This is why I'm not doing podcasts. This is stuff is, man.
Oh my gosh, funny that you don't remember that at all. We talked for an hour about fun books to read and I don't even know what. We had a very, I'll remember it for both of us.
I just would like to say another shout out to whoever made the drug Dilaudid. I am so pleased with that one.
I don't know if we want to shout that out exactly.
Are you kidding me? Do you know 100 years ago, I would have been crippled for life.
No, that's true. That's true.
And if they did have the ability to do surgery, I'm quite sure I wouldn't have accepted it, given the fact they have to cut apart a bunch of bones, put in a bunch of screws, and do that without painkillers. Are you kidding me?
Fair point. Yes,
yeah,
true.
I think I'll just hobble around. Yeah, man alive, the progress has been amazing. And I'm sorry for people who get hooked on these drugs. It's like I don't have a nervous system that is addictive like that. I'm just really fortunate. I just like took it for, I think I was doing 4 days or 5 days of Dilaudid, something like that. And, you know, for some people that might be enough to addict them. I mean, for me, I just,
I've heard some people,
it's like ibuprofen.
It's like one time and that's enough.
Wow.
Yeah. Holy it's smokes. Scary. But I know, I think, I mean, obviously, same genetics. So I think it's this, I think you actually like your body can accept it and you feel good. But as I discovered when I had eye surgery about 6 weeks ago, my body does not like opioids at all. Like, isn't a fan. Makes me feel horrible, nauseous. It doesn't make the pain go away. So either I just haven't tried the right one, or opioids just don't work on me. Which,
well, I have
you know,
some
means
help for this.
I also will not get addicted. So there's that.
Well, this is true. You won't get addicted, but. Like the OxyContin stuff that everybody's hooked on.
Yeah.
That stuff makes me sick.
Yeah.
So I went in, you know, I've had, I ride horses hard, so I've had several surgeries. And I went in to this particular surgery and I've told them, like, I have a real reaction on OxyContin and I can't take it. And I asked him for Dilaudid because I know that worked really good for me.
Yeah, I haven't
so,
tried
you know,
that
next
one.
Time, ask him specifically for that.
It's my next major surgery.
Yeah. Well, which is coming.
Well, yeah, it's coming. So we are a mess, basically. And by the way, this is an investing show. Yes, we will get to investing at some point. But
it's the first
we
show
did
where I started off
little,
without telling everyone.
We wanted to give
what
a little update. Yeah, you didn't tell everybody what we do here, Dad.
We figure out investing Warren Buffett style is what we do.
That's right.
That's right. Let me boil that down for you.
Oh, there's more.
It means that most of what you've learned about investing out there just ain't so, right? And it's like, that's the stuff that really gets you, is the stuff that you think is true that isn't true. And most investors believe things that aren't true about investing. Just a couple major ones are that you can't beat the market, that the market's rational and prices things properly all the time, and that your financial advisor is actually going to earn his percentages. Those are all false. So, and this isn't to disparage financial advisors who provide an overarching service for wealthy people who need a lot of assistance in figuring out where to put assets and where to handle trusts and all that. Absolutely phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Get one. We've got one, mm-hmm. you know, all that. But the financial advisor who's, you know, 25 years old, just getting started in his career, is lampooned a bit by Warren Buffett, saying it's pretty strange that, you know, people are driving in Rolls Royces to go down and hand their money over to somebody that went to work on a subway. It's a bit awkward when the person that you're taking advice from isn't wealthy. They don't have money and they're trying to make some off of you. And the way they're doing it is they're following the rules that are taught by firms like Morgan Stanley and so on. And basically following what the Securities Exchange Commission wants them to do, basically following what they've learned in their MBAs at Ivy League colleges. And that is that the market is a rational place and that prices are equal to values. And those just aren't true. And Warren Buffett's success in all these years proves they're not true. So that's what this podcast is all about, is laying that out there.
Yeah. And as we've said a number of times, we are going to get back to our regularly scheduled programming. But as I was about to say, we're kind of a mess right now because you just had surgery. I just had surgery. And now I have to go back for my second eye surgery next week, which really sucks. But it has to get done. And
is this a cautionary tale on laser eye surgery?
So, okay, so here's what is wrong with me, everybody. I got LASIK about 7 or 8 years ago, which is the thing.
By the way, is LASIK a brand or is it a type of surgery?
I think it's, I don't know the answer. It's when they fix your...
I don't want you to disparage LASIK if you didn't actually get LASIK, whatever that is.
I'm pretty sure I had LASIK.
Okay, well,
I don't,
you had
I
eye
don't
surgery.
Know. It's laser eye surgery, where they fix your eyesight with a laser, which is different than with a...
By shaving the cornea.
No, I think the shaving... This is where I can't even explain it because I don't really understand it. I think the shaving the cornea is the good one. It's the one they used to do for years before the laser came out. And then when they invented the laser, the laser can just make a tiny incision in your something. And then it shaves down the cornea, I think, so that it's the right shape so that you have 20/20 vision.
Right.
Tons of people has had it. Everybody's had it. You know, I wore glasses since I was in third grade, so I was pretty excited about getting LASIK. I'm still excited about getting LASIK, but because of that, apparently there's a side effect that can happen, which I didn't know about, and is now, now that I've done some research, is happening more and more to people, it seems. If you have dry eyes, which I also have, then that incision can develop these little white nodules on it. It's called Saltzman's nodular degeneration.
We're going too deep.
We are going too deep. You're right. Will you ask me questions?
So wrap up the answer.
Well, I don't even remember what your question was. What's going on with you?
Why are you going back in for surgery?
Yeah. You asked
and
me,
what's wrong
you
with
asked
LASIK?
Me about LASIK. So the LASIK is where the incision from the LASIK is where the little nodules happen. And now they have to cut them out because they're impairing my vision. Right. And that's not good. So you have to get rid of them because it's only going to get worse and worse and worse until it causes a really bad problem. So hopefully,
and then you have to go get rid of those over and over again through your life, right?
Yeah, that's the crazy part. Jeez, they might come back. Man.
So that did it for laser surgery for me.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. It's not
Thank
great.
You very much.
But you know what? There's lots of worse things and it's going to be okay. But yeah, the surgery is, or I shouldn't say the surgery, but the recovery from the surgery was extremely difficult. And I'm frankly dreading that again. So,
which leads us directly into our subject for today.
Which is what?
The practice.
The practice. The other thing that's happening this week, which is why Dad is saying that. If you guys are with me on Instagram, you know already. My course that we've been talking about for months that I've been writing.
Here comes the ad. Here comes the ad.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, you know what? If you don't know where to go get it, then you can't go get it, can you, Dad?
All right, go ahead.
Okay,
I'll quit teasing
ask
you.
Me. Ask me where to get the course that I've been talking about since January.
Okay, so where, if I would like to get a course on how to create a practice of investing, like Danielle Towne, where do I go?
Oh my God, that's such a good question. You would get the Mostly Invested course that I spent almost a year writing and
it's
creating.
It's called Mostly Invested?
Yes, I've told you that. It's called Mostly Invested because...
You told me that when I was on Delauded, which was...
That's going to be your excuse for everything from now on.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's called Mostly Invested because most of us are mostly invested. We are not all the way there. We feel like we kind of have some sense of like our money or like maybe what we should do. And maybe you guys are listening to this podcast and thinking like, yeah, like that's kind of interesting. We're mostly there, right? And that's where I was. I was mostly invested, but I was not totally invested. And to me, being invested means so much more than just money. Money's a nice part of it, but it's about knowing yourself and your emotions and feeling really comfortable with being able to take care of yourself and understanding, as Dad just said, how to evaluate financial advisors and what other people say about finances. And then just eventually, once you've got the practice part down, then it's learning how to invest yourself. And that's what my dad does, which is so amazing, and what we talk about here on this podcast. So this course is meant to really be a good accompaniment to everything we talk about here and go through the process that I've gone through. And, oh, okay. So it's at learn.danielletowne.com, L-E-A-R-N, learn.
Wait. Let me write this down so I can go see what you've done.
Learn.danielletowne.com.
Learn.danielletowne.com.
You'll can find
Danielle Towne, all one word. Yeah.
All one word. You can find out all about it there. And the cool thing is that it's an online course, but it's going to be kind of a group course because it's going to start for everybody on November 4th. So when you're listening to this podcast, you don't have that much time to go sign up for it because we're starting really soon. We're starting on Monday after this episode comes out. And after that, you are not going to be able to sign up for it anymore. And the reason that I'm doing that is because I want everybody to go through it together. And we're going to have 3 live calls where I'm going to talk about what's going on at that point in the course. And then we're going to all finish up together and graduate together right before Christmas holidays. I want you to do the course. And I have another announcement, which I'm pretty sure you're about to say you don't remember because you were on drugs. You and I are going to have a special video together on the part when we get to money and family tradition and how that affects our practices and can support our practices going forward. A lot of the time we feel like...
we get to do a video together then? And I don't remember about... I vaguely actually remember a little something about that.
I'm really excited about it. So a lot of people feel like family stuff in the past with money tends to be negative. I think a lot of times it is negative in the past, but we can take that and we can turn it into something really wonderful for our future and be really grateful for it. And it just takes some attention.
I would almost argue that money stuff with family is just about universally negative. I mean, how many times do we hear the story that, in fact, by the way,
I've heard from a lot of people that they had really good teaching from their parents about money.
Well, you had really good teaching. You just didn't listen. So there's that. And I'm just thinking about all these people, you know, who argue that that wealth is getting more and more in the hands of fewer and fewer people, which is true, obviously, statistically.
Definitely.
But this is one of those things where statistics lie.
Oh, tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. It is absolutely true that we're polarizing.
Yeah, I'm confused about where the lying is happening.
Well, the lying is happening that we make the assumption that the rich people stay the same, but they don't. In other words, the money is going to fewer and fewer people, right? Mm-hmm. But they're not the same people after a couple of generations.
Oh, after a couple of generations. People.
Yeah.
We're seeing this trend, though, within like 20, 30 years, within one generation.
Well, it's always been the case that in capitalist economies where it is, you know, essentially pretty ruthless competition. If you can't, compete, you're gone. Mm-hmm. And the experience of many, many wealthy families is that they don't have the next generation well-educated in how to handle money. And the next generation manages to lose it. So the old saying is the first generation makes it, second generation loses it, and the third generation makes it back because they've discovered that it's,
actually
have to know stuff.
Yeah.
You have to know things. And so actually one of the things that we're trying to work on in our practice of investing is generational wealth. Mm-hmm. We would like to actually counter that trend, which is probably politically incorrect if you think about it. We really want money to flow to everybody, and we really want there not to be so many rich people and so few and so many poor people, right? We want more middle class, more equality in the outcome. But we're also working very hard to make sure that you individually, you and me as a family, and you and the future generations are all able to hold on to the wealth that you create.
Yeah.
Rather than sending the next generation back into poverty.
Yeah, totally. Right? So, I don't.
Maybe those are not exclusive.
Yeah, I don't think so at all. I think it's all good. And I think what learning to invest gives middle class people is the opportunity to have something to pass on that wouldn't have been there before. So,
and by the way, this is super important for all kinds of reasons. I just realized one of the arguments against what I just said, which is that the generations are changing, the actual family names change, who's rich over time. One of the arguments that isn't entirely true is that as a small number of people get wealthier and wealthier, they have advantages of putting their kids into really good colleges, teaching their kids really smart things, getting better educated, getting better professions. And those kids then go have their kids go to the same schools and then they marry the kids from those schools. And the whole thing goes rapidly toward a sort of a peak of a pyramid because that's, you know, the people in your life are all people from that sort of wealth class. Mm-hmm. And so it tends to stay in that class, I suppose, as a result of that. And what generational wealth does, if you think about it, is it, first off, having some money, besides letting you stay at Waters Pavilion for an extra couple of days, allows you to get your kids into phenomenal schools, right? Because they've got
hopefully it doesn't allow you to get parents. Them in, but you can pay for them.
There's some very interesting criminal trials going on
exactly.
right now.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying hopefully.
No kidding. Those guys busted the system. But obviously, I mean, in your case, you were fortunate enough to have parents that cared, and not just cared, every parent cares. It's that we weren't overwhelmed by work. Mm-hmm. And so you could see we were there to help you build good habits. And your mom in particular was phenomenal.
Totally.
As an educator, helping you build great
habits.
Yeah, but
you
went to great schools.
You are too, absolutely.
We're good. We're good with that. That's one of the things I'm proudest of, is that you were able to succeed in getting in. You competed and you succeeded. Mm-hmm. And so that doesn't come from, that doesn't just happen. It happens because you've got the time to devote to your children.
True.
And you don't have the time to devote to your children if you're a single parent and you're working two jobs. I mean, it's kind of like you hope you get your kids to a point where they can go to school. Mm-hmm. And then, geez, from then on, it's kind of the school that's taking them or raising them or their peer
group.
Yeah,
it's the difference between survival mode and
right.
thriving.
Right. Survival mode and thriving. And you read stories about kids that have come up really through hard knocks and then are in a peer group that believes that you are actually violating your peer ideology if you study, right? That somehow you are you're breaking away from your friends if you're trying in school. And these kids, you know, who were good students in sixth grade, you know, in early education, come apart at the seams by the time they're 14 years old, and then you're out as being a street kid, and everything goes downhill in a hurry from there. And this is all so related to poverty. It's just enormously connected, in my view. I mean, I don't know, I'm not a sociologist, but in my view, it's deeply related to poverty. And if you can get money, you get time. You get time, then you have the chance to help your kids.
And frankly,
and help them figure it
out.
I
mean, listen to the story you just told. You get health. You get health. Like,
you get health. You get the best doctors.
You get to recover in the incredibly expensive, I'm sure, fancy private area. There's no question that creates better outcomes.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And
you
that's
have the
what
luxury
we want for
to
all
recover.
Of you.
A lot of people have to go straight back to work or before they should after a surgery
exactly,
like that.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and we want that. And interestingly, in our society, I don't think there's anything standing in the way. There's no law of nature that says that we can't all have that.
No.
Nothing. Yeah. No. I mean, it's just a matter of do you have the wealth available to pay for it? And that is just a matter of you learning how to do this stuff. Frankly, I mean, I'm going to speak frankly. It's a matter of you learning how to do the stuff that works.
I agree.
That's all.
I agree. There you go. We agree on something. That's the practice. So now I'm going to plug the course again, because I think for a lot of us, we're nodding and we're going, And then we turn off the show and we don't do anything. And that's why I made this course, because I did that for my whole life, except my show was you in person.
Exactly.
So
I'm the show.
That's right. This, the course mostly invested is to, you know, if you've always wanted to do something with your money, but been too afraid or just feel too painful about it, or don't take time for yourself, this course will take you through it. And at the end you'll have a practice, and then you can go forth and focus on investing. So,
yeah, I'm going to be taking it with you.
Yeah.
So this would be awesome. Maybe, and I'll tell you what, I've been doing this a long time, and I have my own ways of getting through the process of investing. But really, Danielle, until we started doing this podcast, I never thought of it as a practice.
I know. You looked at me like I was nuts.
Yeah, and I'm sort of stuck in my old ways, you know, a little bit of habits, and those habits aren't necessarily the best. And so, man, I'm actually really looking forward to this.
It was nice. I just interviewed the amazing Gretchen Rubin, who's the author of The Happiness Project and multiple other amazing books. I'm a huge fan. I just interviewed her for an interview that's going to be in the course. It's exclusive to the course, and it's about habits and how her work on habits can help us with our investing practices. And it was so interesting to talk with her about how I think of investing practice and how the concept of habits or skills really relates to practice, but is also like not quite the same. So there's all sorts of concepts out there, and a lot of it is just knowing yourself better and knowing what works for you. And I think with you, Dad, investing came so naturally to you that you didn't have to think about it, which is like you didn't have to think about your process or your practice, which I think is, it's not that you don't have one, it's just that you hadn't been particularly conscious about it. Would you say that's true?
It's sort of a disadvantage to me though. I think it is a disadvantage.
Yeah. I think it's a real advantage. Yeah. I have a whole section on this, how it's a huge advantage to think about these things. Go ahead.
Like as much as you were pushing back on, like, I don't want to learn this stuff. That's what I did for a couple of weeks out on a river trip, a week or so, with a guy who became my mentor, just pushed back because it just was foreign and alien and the whole thing. But when I actually got together with him and started to learn, I took to it like a fish to water. Yeah. It was just like, oh yeah, this is great. You know how, I mean, I sort of just got it, you know, not all necessarily the rules of investing, but the actual get in there and do it stuff, you know, like reading about S&P 500 companies. Reading financial statements.
That stuff.
Yeah. It was like, you know, the Matrix, when they show the Matrix and it's just all the waterfall of numbers coming on the screen, and these guys just see the girl in the red dress, right? It's just like, they don't see the numbers. It was more like that for me. And not that I'm good with numbers per se.
You are good with numbers. I think you can definitely say that.
Not in terms of like math numbers. Like I can do some math and I kind of get it, but I have to work through things lots of ways to figure out if I'm getting the right math. It's just that I can kind of see what the business looks like quickly. Lee Lu talked about this at Columbia once. He makes about 30% a year, and we've talked about him here on the podcast as the only guy that Charlie Munger's put any money with besides him and Buffett in 60 years of investing. And he said, Lee Lu said that really you should be able to look at an analysis of a company in about 5 minutes and have a pretty good idea about what's going on there. And that's a guy that, you know, the waterfall of numbers just boom.
Yeah.
He sees right into what it looks like. So
I remember reading the Lowenstein biography of Buffett, and in it, he says that Buffett would go and visit the headquarters of the various companies that he invested in at the very beginning. And he would show up and he would know the balance sheet of that company better than the CEO and would recite numbers to him, to that CEO.
That's impressive.
And within about half an hour, the guy would realize that Buffett knew his business better than he did and would at that point basically be quiet and listen to the oracle.
Yeah, the beauty of listening to that story, number one, is that, you know, we're learning from a master, right, from Buffett. Mm-hmm. And number two, the brilliance of Warren Buffett is he's been able to translate that mastery into something that we can understand, right? So often,
we talked about that when we talked about his birthday. Yeah, exactly. Like the incredible gift of him is his communication. Yep.
And so now we can understand how to do this. We don't have to have a 180 IQ. In fact, I really do truly believe, given the fact that I've been pretty successful with this, you don't have to have a gigantic IQ to make sense out of this. It is just following the rules, and following the rules is part of the practice, if you will. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the practice is bigger than that. The practice is bigger than following the rules. The rules are pretty simple. You buy a company that you really are capable of understanding that's got a big moat, good management, and you buy it on sale, okay? So obviously there's a lot that goes into that. We've been talking about it for 3 years. But those are pretty simple rules. And the practice is bigger than that by a lot.
Mm-hmm. By a lot. Yeah.
And that's what we're going to learn about in your course.
Yeah. I'm really excited invested. That you want to go through it.
I'm pumped. I'm really excited
to
learn more.
And so we can
more.
Chat about it on the podcast.
Because I look at investors like Charlie Munger, who has a bust of Lee Kuan Yew in his office.
From Singapore.
From Singapore, the founder, really the founder of Singapore.
He's like the George Washington of Singapore, except more dictatory.
Yeah. And not so willing to let go of it after two terms in the White House.
Yeah, good point.
but who thinks so rationally about all sorts of issues. And that's, I think, Charlie's point of the bust is to remind himself, these are the parts of people's practices, right? Ways of reminding yourself of things that you should be thinking about. And this bust, I think Charlie's spoken about it a little bit, but in my view, he's just saying, look, investing well is so much bigger than just those four things that we talked about. Those simple things are the rules of investing, but it's much, much bigger than that. It's about a way of understanding the world.
Yeah. And I think of understanding yourself.
And of understanding yourself. Well said. So, wow, what a process. We're going to understand the world better and we're going to understand ourselves better. How many weeks is this course? And what is the structure of this course?
What a great question. It's 7 weeks. And the reason it's 7 weeks is that I wanted to set it up as a real investing practice would be. So a lot of courses will give you like an hour long video or something, and then you'll go off and do something. I didn't want it to be like that. So I designed it so that it's very short videos, very short lessons, very short practices every day for 7 weeks.
Whoa.
And when I say every day, it's almost every day. It's 5 days a week, so you can choose which days you want to take off.
Wow.
And so each one is short. It's only 5 to 15 minutes a day, which is how I do my real investing practice.
So good, because I'm sitting here thinking,
I know.
Really,
am I
going to
have time? Don't worry, I got you.
That's fantastic.
And so the idea is, by the end of 7 weeks, really after 4 weeks, that's enough to develop a habit. So at the end of 7 weeks, you'll have it very well ingrained in your life that you do investing practice almost every day for at least a short amount of time. And the point of the course is that by the end, you will know how your investing practice works best for you, which is probably different than for me. Dad, yours is definitely already different than mine. And we all have different methods and different times of day and different resources that we like better than others. And so the point is to start to understand all of that stuff about ourselves so that we can have a confidence going forward of, okay, when I do investing, here's what it looks like. Here's how I know that I showed up for myself. And here's why I'm doing it. And then on top of that, all the sort of old stuff that can hold us back, we will have worked through
some of that. Well, can I propose that we talk about the process we're going through on our podcast?
I think that would be great. Yeah. You can't sign up after November 4th. So when people hear about it, they will be feeling terribly sad that they can't be part of it. But I think that we should still talk about it because that would be really cool and interesting.
Absolutely. I mean,
I love that idea.
If people don't get onto the course this time, maybe they'll do it next time, but we should absolutely talk about it. And I'm pumped up.
I love that idea. Let's
this
do
is
it.
Such a good idea.
So this,
when's it start? Starts November 4th. Is that day one, November 4th?
That's day one.
Day one.
Yep.
All right. Wait a second. I'm looking at my calendar. You know, I just know, right? Something. So,
well, we all have something, Dad. We all work. We all have lives. We all have families and friends, and we have to work out, and we're all busy.
Well, what if I'm with my brothers and your husband driving back from the race course on Monday morning?
You know what? We've all got stuff.
Well, how am I going to do the day?
And I guarantee you. So do you want to know how I do it? I wake up And that's when I do my 15 minutes of investing practice.
You can do
I
it
wake up
anytime you want during the day.
Of course.
This thing, this course.
It's online. You can do it anytime.
Yeah, right.
Each week of lessons will be released week by week.
Oh.
So it's totally up to you when you watch it. The live calls are at a certain time because they're live with me. But other than that, it's whenever you want to do it. As you need to in your life. And that's the point. That's the point. It's to get used to making time in your day for that little moment of investing.
Well, this is going to be very, very entertaining because I am driving a bunch of time on the 4th, and then I've got all kinds of stuff on the 5th, and then the 6th is kind of open. Then I'm flying on the 7th, and then I'm spending
three days with
2,000 people on the 8th, 9th, and 10th. And
this is going to be really good practice for you.
Yeah, let's see if I can even
because
do it.
What I hear you saying is that you do not intend to do investing practice for about 10 days.
Well, geez.
And that can't be
that
right.
That isn't right.
No.
I actually do a lot of stuff while I'm doing these other things.
This is going to be really good.
Okay, this is good. It's obviously not structured. It just happens.
That's right.
Okay, well, that is super cool. All right, that's what we're going to be doing. And I'm pumped because I really need this. I need to get this practice more.
From your comments about how you're too busy, which are the kinds of things I hear from people who don't have anything to do with investing.
Yeah.
Yes, I think you need this.
Yeah, okay, done. Done. I'm excited.
I mean, literally, I think I told the story in the course, although now I can't remember, but I'll tell it here. My friend, do I want to tell? I don't know. Watch the course.
Well, right now I'm thinking you have to go to some sort of formal dinner because you're in a gown right now doing this podcast. You look stunningly beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
You're such a beautiful woman, and I'm so envious of your husband that he gets to take you out and do all kinds of things in Zurich and I never see you. So come back to this country soon and go some black tie thing with me and Nuno and Melissa. It'd be really awesome.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I want to do that.
I think we should say though, like we're going to be back hopefully next week. Bear with us as we go through these various health issues. We're going to be doing as many new shows as we possibly can, but we may have to put up a From the Vault show at some point here in the next month or two. So we are doing the best we can on live shows here, and we're trying really hard because we love doing them.
Yeah, I love doing them with you. So,
and I hope you guys like the interviews from the last few weeks because it was really fun to do them.
But we'll get another one in here pretty quick. I mean, we should be on schedule the next couple of weeks, so.
Okay.
When your course kicks off, we definitely want a podcast about that. And I hope we can.
We're on.
All right.
We're on.
Until then.
All right.
Time to go play.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Hey, thanks for listening to Invested. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Head over to investedpodcast.com for our show notes and a special offer on how the podcast listeners can attend my 3-day transformational investing workshop for free, where we just teach the heck out of you for 3 straight days. We don't sell anything, and we get you a scholarship to come to it for free. So come on over there and take a look at that. And by the way, as our lawyers want me to say, everything discussed on this podcast is either my opinion or Danielle's opinion, and my opinion's right, and is not to be taken as investing advice because I am not your investment advisor, nor have I considered your personal situation as your fiduciary. So this podcast is just for your entertainment and education only, and I hope you enjoyed it. So until next time, time to go play.